Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel once again. Anyway, in this video, I'm going to be discussing Turkey's position vis-a-vis the Ukraine war. Now, Turkey's position is very complicated. It is a member of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, but it's the only NATO member which has not imposed any sanctions at all on Russia. East, but also Southeast Europe, as it likes to see itself. It joined NATO in the Cold War because it bordered the Soviet Union, but is not part of the Russian Federation. Its frontier with the Soviet Union was the countries which are now called Georgia, Armenia, and Azerbaijan. Now, Turkey's got a fraternal relationship with Azerbaijan. I saw posters in Azerbaijan showing Turkey and Azerbaijan, two states, one nation. So their languages are almost the same. Their cultures are very, very similar. And Turks can go and live and work in Azerbaijan, no problem. Some Azerbaijanis go to Turkey, the rest of it. The Turkish troops stationed in Azerbaijan, Armenia, they've only just opened the border to some trade now. Will they really normalize relations? There have been some diplomatic meetings. They still don't have diplomatic relations. They're looking to restore normal diplomatic relations between Turkey and Armenia. So, whereas Armenia is a member of the CSTO, Collective Security Treaty Organization, Russia's answer to NATO. It's a pathetic imitation. It's only got six members. Russia supplying about 80% of the troops and about 90% of the heavy equipment. But the Armenians, they desperately need Russian support. That's a lifeline to them. And the Prime Minister of Armenia, Nikol Pashinyan, is deeply unhappy with Russia open about that. He's got no alternative because there's no one who's likely to help him. He's only got four neighbors. Turkey and Azerbaijan are the two enemies. Iran fairly good, but Iran can't afford to annoy Russia or anyone. Georgia's quite small and can't afford to irk Russia either. So what does Turkey want of its relationship with Russia? Well, partly money. They trade a lot. And it's the single biggest populated destination familiar to them. They also want to make sure that the Russians are not too helpful to the Armenians. So because they want their cousins, the Azerbaijanis, to do well in this low-level conflict as well as sniping across the border. So that's why there's a lot of money to be made trade with Russia. It's very easy. The Russians have got to pay over the odds for goods, and they're willing to sell their exports for below market prices. So Turkey's still sucking up this Russian oil and gas, so helping their economy. And that Recep Tayyip Erdogan is not a man who brooks dissent kindly. So he's a man cut from the same cloth as Vladimir Putin, an ultra-nationalist. And he's ruled that country either as prime minister or president, is currently president for 21 years. So Turkey is a very independent country in that West and some of these Eastern despotic regimes. Trade with Russia is important to Turkey. It's not as important to Russia. Russia needs all the friends it can get. So the Turkey and Russia, they're in Syria, the Wagner fighters in Syria. And in 2015, Turkey even shot down a Russian fighter jet, which had come to Turkish airspace for a matter of seconds. And actually, Russia didn't hit back, that they fulminated. They have a rather cool for 90 days without a visa. And as Russian and Belarusian airlines have not been permitted to fly to European airspace since I think it's 2021, therefore Russians who want to fly onto Western countries or other parts of the world, they often have to fly to Turkey and change planes and fly onto these other destinations. So that has been quids in for Turkish airlines, other Turkish airlines. Let me see. Anyway, so Erdogan's AK Partiyası, Justice and Development Party, what is it? Adalet ve Kiralamanlı Partiyası. It's meant to be about political Islam. It's also about ensuring economic growth, and it was turbocharged for many years. So the AK Party, it does not put the accent on free expression or fair elections, let's say. Nevertheless, opposition parties are allowed. So it could be more or less a sham democracy. It's rather authoritarian. So the similarities between Turkey and Russia are striking in that regard. So the Erdogan government wishes to build Turkey into a regional hegemon and has had some success. Some Russians want to avoid conscription. They've gone to Turkey, permanent residency there. If you purchase a property worth over $50,000 US, that sounds incredibly cheap. And in rural Turkey, you get a lot. There's a lot of corruption in Turkey, at all levels of the government and the judiciary. And Turkish construction companies, they really thrive abroad because they are prepared to pay the dusul. Whereas if you're an American company, if you're a British company, if you're a company, almost any Western country, if you're an Irish company, that's jail time, even if you pay a bribe abroad. But that's how business is done in Turkey. I'm not saying everybody else does it, but there's a lot of that going on in circumvention, as many people were hoping, because they order things from companies in Turkey, Emirates, Uzbekistan, various other countries. These are called imports. So Russia in particular needs microchips. They order this Western microchip from a Turkish company, which will order Germany or Canada or something. It'll be imported to Turkey, together with Turkey, for allowing itself to be used for Russia to bust sanctions. And they've threatened secondary sanctions on Turkey. And this finally seems to have actually got through to the Turks. So some Turkish banks were connected to Russia's Mir payment system. For example, Deniz Bank, meaning Sea Bank, Halk Bank, which is People Bank, Ziraat, has it been Wheat Bank, I think, Ish Bank, meaning Work Bank, and Vakif Bank. So the United States of America, so it would take actions against these banks in Turkey if they continue to expedite, assist sanctions busting, either directly or indirectly. The Turks often thought that Western countries won't push them too far. Otherwise, it'd drive them into the arms of Russia, Iran, China, North Korea, whoever, the sort of anti-Occidental alliance. Remember, as a NATO member, Turkey had the right to veto Finland. And would they do it? In the end, they blended Finland's in. But they're still so far vetoing Sweden from joining, because now there are 31 members of NATO, and a new country like Sweden only join if all 31 concur. And the other thing is Azerbaijan, the Turks' sister nation, is trading with Turkey. So it's trading with Russia, so nothing is happening. Transport links are going ahead as usual. Russians can fly to Azerbaijan, stay there, 30 days visa free, stuff like that. So Azerbaijan and Turkey doesn't want Russia to up the ante with regard to Armenia. On the other hand, does Russia have the spare arms to give to Armenia or the money? I don't think so. Russia doesn't want to irk the Azerbaijanis, otherwise they might reduce trade, cut off travel links, sanctions would be introduced and so forth. So Turkey really is vital to NATO because it's the second largest military in NATO after the United States. And NATO does not want to annoy Turkey because the nightmare scenario would be Turkey to withdraw. What if Turkey even went the whole hog and became a Russian ally? It would be Russian military bases in the Mediterranean. Anyway, right now it doesn't look like there's any possibility that's going to happen. So Turkey's been able to make the most of this Ukraine war and has gained advantages from this. It's reaped profits from commerce with Russia and Belarus. But it's also sold Bayraktar drones to the Ukrainians, business as business. And Bayraktar drones are the cheapest on the market. They start from, $5 billion? Anyway, so Turkey has also invited the Russians and the Ukrainians to Turkey to negotiate. So it played host to these in 2022. It also helped to bring in the Black Sea Grain Initiative. This is a United Nations-sponsored agreement that both Russia and Ukraine signed with the UN. They didn't sign it with each other. So neutral ships sail through the Black Sea. They're inspected by Russia to see they're not carrying grain, not carrying weapons. They go onto Ukrainian ports like Chornomorsk, Odessa. They pick up grain. They sail back through the Black Sea, through Turkish waters, the Bosphorus, that waterway in the middle of Istanbul, selling some grain to Turkey, but on into the Aegean and the Mediterranean and all around the world, and distributing Ukrainian grain, some vital foreign earnings for the Ukrainians, but also feeding people. Up to 400 million people are dependent on Ukrainian grain. So that's how Turkey managed to maximize its leverage during this conflict. So whatever happens, in a sense, Turkey is a winner. Nobody dares to alienate them. Thanks for watching the channel. Goodbye.